Welcome back, everybody, to our Let's Talk Green County program presented by the Community State Bank in Peyton. This is Coltrane Carlson, and our guest today is our congressman from Iowa's 4th Congressional District, is Steve King, joining us once again. So thank you very much, sir, for being on.
Oh, thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate it always, Coltrane.
I'd like to, you know, just get your thoughts about the president testing positive for COVID. Do you think that perhaps if he would have taken some more preventative measures, maybe it could have been prevented in the first place?
Well, if we knew how he contracted it, then I guess we could say what preventative measures he should have taken. I thought they had tied that down pretty tight around the White House with daily tests of people. Anybody that gets close to the president gets tested before they do. The speculation is that he contracted it from Hope Hicks. I don't know that. I haven't really studied it. But I think the important thing is that, you know, the president got good medical care at the Walter Reed Hospital, where we send our military for the best care we can give them. And they turned him around pretty quickly and got him back to the White House. So I think the president's message, too, was, I think he said the words, don't let this dominate your life. I think that's a good message. And he is a man with perhaps the strongest constitution in anybody I know, and also maybe in the United States. He's mentally very, very tough. He's physically pretty solid. I'm thankful that this is over. We all prayed for him, and as I do every day, he's got to kick some momentum into this campaign. He'll come out of the quarantine sometime in, a week or so, and then I think he'll hit the ground running and really blitz through this campaign to Election Day.
Prior to his positive test of COVID, he did have that first presidential debate. I just want to get your initial thoughts, sir, of how you think that debate went overall.
Well, you know, I've been in debates that were very contentious, where it was a brawl all the way through, and that's what this debate was. I think that to the extent that President Trump came in with that decision already made, I'm not sure of that, but it was pretty easy to recognize that it was two against one, and he did know that. Then he took the position that he wasn't going to let anything said that needed to be challenged, and it ended up with that bickering. And I ended that debate with just kind of a just not a very good feeling in my stomach about the brawl that had taken place before us all. Yet, you know, I can't lay all that on President Trump. Some of that belongs to Joe Biden, and some of that belongs to Chris Wallace, too. In the end, I don't think we learned very much about policy disagreements, but what we did see was an intellectually vigorous president, one who has been under relentless attack from, well, before he was elected, but certainly right after he was elected nearly 4 years ago. They have not let him up for air. They put together a strategy to deny the President Trump the ability to govern. They would not accept his political opposition, would not accept the results of the electorate. And it's evident with the Russia hoax that's been going on, the cover-up of Hillary's emails, the Ukraine, the impeachment, and you can go on and on. We have a president that has made his nominations to the Supreme Court, three excellent nominations to the Supreme Court, two confirmed, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. And if Amy Coney Barrett is confirmed, and I'm hopeful that that happens before the election, so that we have nine members on the Supreme Court in case there's an election battle going on like Bush v. Gore. But the big difference in this country is that we have a federal court now with over three, we'll end up with 300-plus confirmations of federal judges, and I'll say three. I'm going to predict Amy Coney Barrett gets confirmed, but three good appointments to the Supreme Court of constitutionalists. The big things that matter, the deregulation, the tax relief, the border security, the national security, rebuilding our military, all of that has been done by the hand and the will of Donald Trump, in spite of all that they have thrown against him. And if you go out and do things, good things, and good things in a bold way, the people that don't believe in that get very aggressive. And I am actually one of those people who has more experience with that than I would care to mention.
Well, now, President Trump had one point a few weeks ago had said that he wouldn't essentially have a peaceful transfer of power of the presidency should he end up losing the election here in just under a month. And I believe there was a floor vote in the House in which you had also voted no on such a measure. Can you explain to us, you know, why you voted the way you did and why this measure had to go before the House?
Well, yes. I mean, it was a political vote and it doesn't bind anybody, but it's a political vote. There were only five of us that voted no on that in the House of Representatives, and all five of us are constitutionalists. The language in that, I don't have it in front of me now, but it said, in part, it said, no person in power shall some more or less decline to accept the results of the election. And that's not the exact quote, but that's the theme. Hmm. Well, that person in power is Donald Trump. And the person not in power is Joe Biden. When you use that language, it very precisely identified only the president and exempted Joe Biden, BLM, Antifa, and all of these troublemakers we've got in the streets of America. They couldn't go against any of that. They only targeted the president. And so it wasn't a theme that had a principle behind it other than a partisan principle. And too many of my Republicans decided they didn't want to put up a fight over a principle. But I stand on my vote. And when the president said that he wouldn't guarantee that there would be a transfer of power in an election result, he couldn't have answered anything else. If you've seen the fiasco out of Florida and Bush v. Gore that we talked about earlier in the year 2000, there's many things in play here. And if you look at the statements that have been coming out of the Democratic Party for the last 4 or 5 months about election turmoil and election fraud, would give you a pretty good clue on what they're preparing to do. We do not have the kind of squared away clean elections that we envision. And be skeptical, we need to push for the cleanest elections possible and the most integrity that we can have in our elections possible. But if the president just simply makes a blanket statement that he wouldn't challenge an election, no matter how much fraud there is, it would be a colossal mistake. We want to have clean elections. And we want them to be verified, verifiable, recounts were needed, court cases if it has to be. I hope there aren't. And then let the winner emerge, the legitimate winner, and then let the election be declared. And I hope it can happen election night, because I don't look forward to another 37 or more days deciding who the president is going to be.
Maybe for the first time in 18 years, a little awkward for you not to be in full campaign mode at this point, Congressman King. What's it like for you to sit back and watch this election going on and not be actively engaged in campaigning for your reelection?
Well, I really didn't have a very good handle on how much responsibility and stress that I had been carrying with me for nearly a quarter of a century. it's different to be more of a spectator. You know, I think, yeah, I'd like to debate J.D. Schultz. Last time, no, he had 17% name ID, and it didn't pay to do that. Plus, one of the downsides of debate, though, in my case, is the print press, which we talked about earlier especially, will never write an objective story. And so that's another reason that, from where I sat, that it wasn't strategically that good a deal. But where things are right now is I've seen more of my grandchildren. There's a whole life going on here, a family that I've been missing out on. Hmm. And I always saw it as my duty. I'm called to do these things. And now I can see that I can do both. And I still continue to represent the people in the 4th Congressional District. And we're going to sprint through the tape, do constituent services, and try to move the agenda. But also dial this thing down, and I will be moving around marketing my book pretty soon, as soon as it's ready and out. So that's going to be a shift, and I want people to give it a good read, and I want the truth to be part of this history that I've had the privilege to live.
And that's our guest for today's Let's Talk Green County program, here with our Congressman Steve King joining us once again. Community State Bank in Peyton is an independent, locally owned bank in business since 1956. Back with more here on the Raccoon Valley Radio Network.